This is Fast Eddie with the Zen of Hot Start.
Zen of Hot Start. This is Digital Dave with definitely not the Zen. I'm more like the sandbox.
Yeah, there you go. Litter box, maybe?
Yes, there it is. All right, and we are joined by Mr. Jeffrey Madison.
He's got a book.
Hey, there it is. Yikes.
Yikes.
Oh, my goodness. 100 smart pilots and the dumb things they did, yet lived to tell about them.
And they actually did tell about it.
That's right. This is based on the compilation of my Human Factors column that I did for General Aviation News for 6 years.
Okay.
And I did that column because I wanted to, as Steve Thorne says, help the general aviation community become humble and safer. And the book I wrote specifically because I wanted to give back to the aviation community by all sales from the proceeds of the book going to flight scholarships and or flight simulators for Civil Air Patrol squadrons, under-resourced flight schools, and STEM programs.
Cool.
Well, wait a minute now. This sounds very much like Flying Magazine's I Learned to Fly From That. I Laughed.
I would say it would stem from that.
Yeah, so it's similar, but these are actually reports from the NASA reports. So,
okay.
Right. So, I first learned about NASA reports as an airline pilot, and when I got back into general aviation flying, I realized that there are a lot of us who weren't filling out NASA reports, and so that's why I pitched the idea to General Aviation News, and they love the idea because the idea is, with NASA reports, if you didn't do it on purpose, you didn't break an airplane, didn't kill anybody, didn't do anything illegal, and you are remorseful and are willing to share your snafu with the rest of the world vis-a-vis the aviation safety reporting system, then you basically get a get out of jail free card. So these are folks who survived and were able to share what they learned from it. So that was fascinating for me and for everybody else, I think.
So these mistakes cover the gamut from oops to oh my God?
That's right. Stories in here like a guy who fell asleep en route to from Georgia to Tennessee, but then woke up over the Gulf.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
A nap.
So he turned back toward Florida. He got almost all the way to the shore, had to ditch his 310, got out safely, and was floating with his with the seat cushion, was finally picked up by the Coast Guard. His particular takeaway, he needed to learn how to swim.
Getting extra rest had nothing to do with it.
Exactly. Yeah, that, right.
Boy, I really need to learn how to swim.
So, some people don't learn the lesson exactly as we would like them to, but to be able to tell that story, then now you guys now know the lesson, right?
Now, you were saying humbler and safer general aviation community. You'll never get that humble part.
That's really funny.
And I can only imagine the phone call back to the wife. Don't worry, honey. I got the seat cushion. I'm okay.
That's right.
It's okay. The plane's insured. And
right.
And when they fish it out of the Gulf, it'll be real pretty.
What do you mean you're in Louisiana?
Yeah. So, yeah, fun things like that are landing on a parking lot thinking that it was an airstrip, because a lot of pilots, when they see a large massive area of concrete and with lines on it, they think, okay, that's an airfield.
Okay.
That kind of thing, yeah.
I wonder what tipped him off it wasn't.
And at 100 feet, he realized, oh, those are parallel parking lines.
But he landed anyway, right?
Wasn't there a pilot a few years back who landed on top of a shopping mall? Something like that.
Well, that might have been an emergency, though.
It may have been, but still he landed on it.
I found out about that story, the NASA story, because there was a flight crew who were supposed to be landing at Jabra with their C-5, and they landed at a similar airfield 5 miles before it that was 3,000 feet shorter.
Ooh.
And they landed, and this was at night, it was VFR, the whole lighting systems looked very similar from the air. They landed successfully, but then realized, oh, okay. So I wanted to find out if air crews can do this from the United States Air Force. Do general aviation pilots sometimes make that snafu? And that's
constantly, I would think.
Yeah. Some of us aren't as well trained as we think we are. Yeah.
And at night, everything looks different.
That's right.
I wonder why.
I remember years ago with a buddy of mine, we were flying with a student pilot. He lined up on a bridge. And we said, wait a minute, that's not what you're looking for.
That would be an interesting landing.
Now, you mentioned the military. What about commercial airline pilots? Are there a lot of stories from them, too?
There are a fair number in the book, but mostly it's focused on general aviation news. I mean, it's what I found in doing the research on the NASA reports is that the majority of the NASA reports are either from airline pilots or ATC, because as an airline pilot, we are taught anytime you think you did something wrong, fill out a NASA.
Yeah, yeah. Cover your butt.
Right. And so with the general aviation pilots, a lot of the times it's a case of maybe nobody saw that.
Yeah.
Then again,
nah.
Big Brother's always somewhere. Watching.
Nowadays, definitely. So it's very exciting that people are kind of getting into the book and doing it for a good cause.
Very good. And we can learn a lot. Let's go out and try to make all these mistakes.
No.
No.
No, some of them are pretty nasty.
How many? Do you have any idea how many NASA reports a year are filed?
I don't know. I do know that about 10 years ago, they passed the 1 million mark.
Oh, wow.
So, and NASA's been around. These have been around since, I think, early in 1980s. And so over the course of 40-something years, it's been a growing
We've
phenomenon.
We've been busy.
Yeah. We've been busy making mistakes.
I was going to say, we need to straighten up and fly
busy
right.
Screwing up.
But isn't it true that that's the way that we learn how to fly, is by making mistakes or watching other people?
Yeah.
It's kind of like virtual hangar flying, right? Instead of sitting on the flight line and watching people judging their landings or their taxis and takeoffs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, well, hopefully you learn from the book, not from the experience directly.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Are you planning a sequel on the book already?
Yes. So many people have talked to me after reading the book and then sharing their own stories. The suggestion is Yikes 2.0.
There you
nice.
Go.
Nice.
Well, okay. Where can you get the book?
So thanks for asking. Yikesthebook.com. Or you can go to Amazon. It's on the Amazon as well. Audible and a digital book or the paperback. If you go to yikesthebook.com, I'll send you a signed paperback copy. If you go to Amazon and just put in Yikes 100 Smart, it'll come right up.
Perfect.
Yep.
You said Audible, though. It's available as an audiobook.
Yeah, it is.
Did you narrate it?
Well, yeah, I guess I did.
All right.
Well, I know what I'm listening to on a drive home.
Please, don't go there.
Oh, hell, I'm definitely going to get it.
I was going to say, in the dramatic parts, is there any, like, screaming in the background or anything?
Oh, yes.
Ambient? Yes, I have done a couple of sound effects. I just want to quickly say, this has really been a great experience for me. I've been a lifetime member of EAA and wanted to come here for like decades. And so to be able to come on the radio and talk to you folks is fantastic. It's a lifelong dream.
Well, thank you. But, you know, wait, the lifelong dream was to be at Oshkosh or be on the radio?
Yeah, be at Oshkosh.
Okay.
Being on
this
radio.
This is your first Oshkosh.
This is my first Oshkosh.
Yikes.
Wow. That was bad.
Well, when you start seeing all these airplanes, that's like, whoa.
See, there's that humble part. Never going to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I wanted to mention, if I could quickly, all of the, like I said, all the proceeds from the sales go to Victor Kilo Fund, which is the aviation nonprofit, education nonprofit my wife and I founded, because I had, and we call it Victor Kilo Fund because Victor Kilo is Greek for 1,000 victories. And for any pilot achieving a certificate, it's 1,000 little victories that get you to where we're going, right? And for me, I had the good fortune of meeting 3 Tuskegee Airmen who helped me become a pilot. And so I thought, well, what better way to give back? If I write a book and all the proceeds go to something like this, I can help others. And we just did in June, on June 14th, we helped Eagle Flight Squadron in East Orange, New Jersey, celebrate their 50th anniversary, started by a pastor in the basement of his church to keep kids off the streets and get them flying. Anyway, we just gave them a $5,000 flight scholarship. It's our first, and we hope to give out many more flight training scholarships to folks through the sales of Yikes! 100 Smart Pilots, the dumb things they did, yet live to tell about them.
Yeah, well, how many of those start with oops?
How many have amended with oh crap?
Yeah. The sequel is, and they got to use the airplane again.
Yeah.
That's right. As long as you don't bend an airplane and you don't kill anybody.
Oh, hey, I got a better title for you. How about Yikes, Not Again?
Yeah.
I like it. That's fantastic.
Not again.
How much do I owe you for that?
No, we'll work that out.
Yeah. How much do you got?
Well, we'll work that out.
Yeah. There you go. All right, but you be nice or we won't validate your parking.
Oh, man.
Super nice. This has been a great experience. Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, what's your quick first impressions of Oshkosh?
Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing. And so exceeded my expectations, and my expectations were super high. So
good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad we were able to do that for you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you.
And you haven't seen the biggest yet.
That's right. I'm looking forward to much, much more.
Oh, the weekend is always amazing. All right. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And yikes, we're going to do this again.
Yes.